Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sarah Malka Reichman. Today we're studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudalad, which opens up with a very decisive and courageous move on the part of Yonatan, Shaul's son. Let's study the Perek just in a basic way and give a bit of an overview before we study the issues in a more in-depth manner, since the details of the war could be a little confusing otherwise. At the end of Perek Yud Gimel, we hear that the Matzav Plishtim, the strategists, the head of the Plishti army, moved to Michmash, which is right near where Shaul and the nation who was still remaining with him is encamped. And we hear Yonatan gives instructions to his na'ar, to his servant who carries his equipment. Vayomer Yonatan ben Shaul el ha'na'ar nosei chelav l'cha v'nabra el Matzav Plishtim asher me'iver halaz. Let's go, says Yonatan. We're going to cross over to where this part of the Plishti army is, which is across over there. Shaul and the rest and Yonatan and whatever remains of Am Yisrael are on one mountain and the Plishtim are on the opposite mountain with a valley in between them. The end of the Pasuk tells us, by the way, Ula Aviv lo higid. Yonatan did not reveal his plan to his father Shaul. What is Shaul doing as the Plishti army has approached closer to Am Yisrael? We hear that Shaul was sitting, v'shal yoshev b'kzeh ha'giva, tachat harimon, under a tree, and whatever of the nation remains with him was 600. Then we're also told, by the way, the grandson of Eli, Pinchas's son, is there, and he has the ephod, meaning he has access to the Urim v'Tumim if somebody needed to pose a question to Hashem. And we're told again at the end of that pasuk, "V'ha'am lo yadat ki alach Yonatan." The nation did not realize that Yonatan and his servant left. Between the two opposing mountains, there were large rocks that are called Shein Hasela, the tooth, perhaps the spoke coming out of the rock. And they are facing each other. This is important information because this provides a cover behind which Yonatan and his servant can hide in their approach. Yonatan tells the Na'ar, this is what we're going to do. We are going to cross over to the Plishtim because Ein Lashem Matzor Lohoshia Barav Ovimat. Nothing can stop Hashem from saving us, whether we are many or we are few. Meaning, don't be discouraged by the fact that there is a battalion of the Plishtim over there and we are only two. Hashem can save us whether we are many or we are few. The servant expresses his support for Yonatan, and then Yonatan tells the servant a tnai, a condition. Their strategy depends on what the Plishtim say. When they spot us, if they say, stop, don't move until we come to you, then we're not going to go up and fight them. If, however, they say, if they say, come up to us, then we are going to go up to fight them. Because that means that Hashem has given them into our hands. Vizeh lanu ha'ot. And that will be the sign. They, in fact, do reveal themselves, and the Plishtim scornfully say, oh, there are those Ivrim who are coming out of their holes in which they were hiding. The Plishtim then address Yonatan and his nosei kelim. They say, as Yonatan had already articulated as one of its tnaim, Alu Eilenu, V'nodia etchem davar, come up to us, and then we'll let you know what to do. Yonatan tells his nosei kelim, Alei acharai, come follow me, ki netanan Hashem biyad Yisrael, because Hashem has handed them over into the hands of Am Yisrael. They scurry up the mountain, Yonatan and his servant, and perhaps because the mountain is at a very steep incline, they crawl on their hands and their legs, and as soon as they get up there, the Plishti army starts falling, he starts killing them, they fall to their death in the hands of Yonatan. Whoever Yonatan doesn't kill, his servant kills. And it's a comprehensive strike against the Plishtim who were located in that spot. They kill 20 people, even though they were in a section of space where certainly they could have helped each other and the odds were in the Plishti favor. Yet this was a quick, swift victory for Yonatan. As a result, the entire machane of the Plishtim becomes petrified. Even the mashchit and the strategists, the leaders, they all become petrified until we're told that Tirgaz Haaretz, the very earth beneath them, seemed to tremble from their fear. At this point, the tzofim, those people on Am Yisrael's side whose job it is to watch the Plishti encampment, who are there for Shaul, tell him that there's all of this hullabaloo going on across the mountain. Shaul realizes something must have happened to provoke this, so he says, go check, pay attention, pikdu, see mi halach mi imanu, see if anybody has left our side. Immediately they report back to him, ein Yonatan v'nosei chelav, Yonatan and his servant are missing. At this point, Shaul does turn to the Kohen Achiah, and he says, bring the Aron. He wants to ask Hashem. And before Shaul could even finish telling the Kohen what to do, they see that there's such havoc on the side of the Plishtim that something must be done immediately. So Shaul says to the Kohen, forget it. Put your hands down. Don't continue with this question to the Urim and Thummim. And Shaul brings the nation with him to the war, only to find that the Plishtim are all killing each other by mistake, although it is their intent to kill Am Yisrael because of all of the havoc and how distraught they all are. Now, many other people of Am Yisrael come out of their hiding places all over, and they go and they follow along with Am Yisrael towards this war, and we are told words that we haven't heard in many hundreds of years. Vayosha Hashem b'yom ha'hu et Yisrael. Hashem on that day saved Am Yisrael. Of course, the words that we heard about Hashem's salvation at the Yam Suf, Vayosha Hashem b'yom ha'hu et Yisrael. And we hear that the war has gone on to a different location. These words echo Yonatan's initial words, when he said, "Ki'in l'Hashem atzor lehoshia b'rav ovimat," and in fact, we hear Hashem does come by Yosha, and he brings the salvation. Then Shaul makes a very interesting law for that day. He says that nobody is allowed to taste any food until they finish striking the Oyev. In his words, until the Erev, till the evening, v'nikamti me oivai, when I take revenge against my enemy. And nobody eats anything. According to the Mefarshim, either he institutes this fast, just like in any time of Tsar, Am Yisrael fasts in order to evoke Hashem's rachamim, or simply because he doesn't want people to be distracted from the war by setting up a meal for themselves and engaging in a whole seudah. And we are told that the nation comes to a forest, and behold, on the ground spread out, there is dvash, either drippings from honeycombs or, according to Rashi, from sugar cane. And nobody touches it. Ki yarei ha'am et hashvua. They are all scared about this oath that Shaul made, that nobody's allowed to eat. But Yonatan lo shama. Yonatan was not there and he did not hear when his father made the shvua, this decree and promise. And so he puts the bottom of his stick in the honey, dips it, brings it to his mouth, eats it, vatarona einav, and his eyes light up because they were so dark from having been starving before that. The nation now tells him, uh-oh, arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem hayom. Your father said there's a curse for anybody who eats bread today. And the nation was very tired. Yonatan's response is strong. He says, Achara vi et haaretz. Reuna ki oru einai ki ta'amti ma'at zvash hazeh. We're going to translate it, my father tainted the land. Look, my eyes lit up from only a little taste of honey, goes on to say, imagine what kind of a sweeping victory we'll be able to have if people just have the strength they could get from eating food. Am Yisrael now continues to fight. They have a massive victory. They take from the booty of the enemy, which includes animals. They slaughter the animals because they're very hungry. It says, Vayochal ha'am al hadam, which there are different possibilities of what prohibition they transgressed at that time. Shaul gives them musar, sets up a situation where they can now eat in a permissible way. And after they do this, Shaul suggests, let's go. We're going to strike the Plishtim at night. We will strike them all night long until the light of the morning, and there won't be anybody left of the Plishtim. Then the Kohen approaches, and he says, perhaps we should ask Hashem. Shaul asks through the Urim Tumim, Ha'ired acharei Plishtim? Hatidnei biyad Yisrael? Should I go after the Plishtim? Will you hand them over into the hands of Am Yisrael? V'lo anahu bayamahu. And Hashem does not answer Shaul. Shaul becomes very concerned, and he thinks that there must be a chait that has caused this lack of response from Hashem. And he says, Chai Hashem HaMoshiach et Yisrael. He says he swears by Hashem who saved Am Yisrael. Ki im yeshno b'Yonatan b'ni, ki mot yamut. If the sin belongs to Yonatan, my son, he will die. Ve'eno nehu mikol ha'am. Nobody there wants to tattle on Yonatan. So Shaul devises a plan. He says that I, Shaul, and Yonatan will be on one side. Am Yisrael will be on another side. We will draw lots to see who sinned. And the lot falls on Shaul and Yonatan's side. And then they draw another lot, and it falls on Yonatan. Shaul turns to Yonatan, and he says, Hagidali me'asita, what did you do? Yonatan tells him, Ta'om ta'amti b'ktei ha'matesh erbi'adi ma'at dvash. I tasted a little dvash on the edge of my stick. Hinini amut. Here I am. Behold, I will die. He accepts his fate. Shaul, surprisingly, says, Ko yaselokim v'cho yosif ki mot tamut Yonatan. He confirms that. He confirms that, and he says, in fact, he will, Yonatan must die. The Am is very distraught by this conclusion that Shaul came to. And they say, Hayonatan yamut asher asa hayeshua gdola hazot b'Yisrael? Chalila! God forbid, should Yonatan, who achieved such a sweeping salvation for Am Yisrael, die. Nothing at all should happen to him. And we hear, Vayifdu ha'am et Yonatan. They redeemed Yonatan. Either they redeemed him by giving his weight in gold as an offering, or they redeemed him by explaining that he had not heard the shvua of Shaul, and therefore they exonerated him, or they found a way to get Shaul to be matir his neder, to revoke the initial promise and pledge that he made regarding somebody who eats. Going back to the condition that Yonatan made, based on which he and his Nosei Kelim would or would not attack the Plishtim, this is a controversial issue based on the Psukim in Devarim Perak Yud Chet, where we are told, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, and we are told about the different types of forbidden magic, sorcery, relying on superstitions. The Gemara in Chulin says, Kol Nachash She'ino Ke'eliezer Eved Avram Uchi Yonatan Ben Shaul Eino Nachash. It's a statement that's difficult to understand, whether the Gemara is saying that what Eliezer and Yonatan did was permissible or forbidden. The Rambam sees it as forbidden, and he says that a person who says, if such and such event happens, then I'll do such and such, but if it doesn't, then I won't. And he gives Eliezer of Avram as an example. He says, this is forbidden. The Raiva disagrees with him, and he says, mutar umutar, who is absolutely permissible. And he says that what the same in the Gemara means is that anything that is, any condition that is not like Eliezer's or Yonatan's, eino ra'oy l'smoch, it's not something that you should rely on if it's not like Eliezer and Yonatan. And the Ravad further says, Ich chashav al tzadikim kumotam aveirazu. How could the Rambam have thought that these great tzadikim did this aveira? The Kesef Mishnah explains and really kind of resolves this conflict by saying that when there's a superstition, they used to say, if something falls, bread falls out of my mouth while I'm eating, then it's a bad sign. Or like in modern days, I guess we would say there's that superstition, if a black cat crosses my path, then these are asr to rely on. But anything that is logical, as example is, if it rains, then I won't go to such and such a place, then that is certainly fine. And he explains that this was the rationale behind Eliezer and Yonatan's tnaim, that there was a rational basis. Of course, in the case of Rivka, if she offers water also to the camels, this is a sign that she is in fact a Baalat Chesed. In the case of Yonatan, the Kesef Mishnah and various Mefarshim give reasons why it was logical. Perhaps it would demonstrate that they are too scared, the Plishim are too scared to go attack Yonatan if they say, oh no, you come up to us. And therefore, if they're in the state of fear, they'll be easy to attack. Going back to the beginning of the parak, I think if we look at the whole parak, we can learn a lot about Shaul's position vis-a-vis the nation in this parak. Of course, the parak opens up with Yonatan making the decisive move. We know that he didn't tell Shaul, but in case we were wondering, the pasuk spelled it out for us. Ulaviv lo higid. He deliberately didn't tell Shaul. When we met Shaul at the beginning of the parak, we hear that he is yoshev, he's sitting. Of course, no greater indication of his passivity than the fact that he's sitting as the enemy army approaches. Afterwards, it is Yonatan that does not hear Shaul's communication when he doesn't hear that Shaul forbids eating for the day. Ultimately, when Yonatan is found that to be guilty of eating, rather than his father defending him, it's the nation that comes to his defense. His father confirms that he should die, but the nation comes to his defense and exonerates him. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between Yonatan and Shaul. Then when Shaul, regarding Shaul's communications with Hashem, we hear in this parenthetic kind of a pasuk that the Ephod is there, that he could communicate by the Urim V'Tumim, but he chooses not to. Later on, the Kohen has to remind him that he has that option. Shaul asks the Kohen to finally consult the Urim V'Tumim, and then he changes his mind, and he says, no, we can't now. Put it back. So there's also, seems to be some divide in the communication vehicle, the Urim V'Tumim, between Shaul and Hashem. And of course, it's Yonatan's decisive victory that gets all of Am Yisrael out of their hiding places and finally goes and supports the war. To finally go and support the war, at the beginning of the parak, we heard that there were only 600 people with Shaul. However, the parak ends telling us that Shaul lachad et hamlucha, that unlike previously, now Shaul had a stronghold on the melucha because the Am saw what he could do in war, and in fact we're told that he fought decisively against many other nations, giving Am Yisrael a respite from their enemies. Thank you for studying together. Liloy Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.